from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Yeah, I mean, we had him and Santana left, basically, and Santana was our length. You know, so if we tie it there, Santana's going to have to finish the game with actually having volume yesterday, and he's the, you know, freshest guy. Yeah, he's also 0-for-3 with 3 punch outs off Marone.
Oh.
I'm probably going to mispronounce this kid's name, Marone. And, you know, Yaz is already in the game and has been having really good at bats over the last month.
Oh, my God. What a debacle. It's over. You tweeted it.
Yeah.
Nail in the coffin.
Yep.
Molsey tweeted earlier in the game, oh boy, feels like this could be over and I just don't mean tonight. And I think Pirates fans who watched the game, and that's everyone, last night probably came away feeling the same thing. The Pirates clearly are not as good as San Diego. The Pirates, after watching 2 series against Arizona, I think it's clear they're not as good as that team. You're battling those 2 teams, among others, to get into a wild card playoff spot. And now all of a sudden you've lost 6 of 7. They just lost 3 in a row for the first time since Paul Skeens got called up. You're 4 games out of a wild card spot right now, and you are a game under 500. And it just feels like the season is like sand through the hourglass, like it's slipping away. And I am depressed, but I'm also angry. How are you feeling today about this and not about my offensiveness at the end of the pre-show?
I just have been so anxious because I just thought that they had, you know, a decent recipe to actually make a run for this. But these last 2 series have really shown me the difference. They've shown me the difference of teams that the Pirates are in the race with to get a spot, but how those teams know how to close out games compared to the Pirates. And I kind of rested and settled with myself that they're just not there yet. These teams aren't great teams, but they are, you know, they're in the race for that spot, and they look different than the Pirates consistently. They know how to close out games. I mean, Pirates scored 8 runs last night, and they still lose. So I don't know how I'm feeling, really. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel right now, because I was feeling really good, and then I got brought down to reality whenever they had these last 2 series. And now I'm just like what are we doing? Like,
I was on cloud 9 after the trade deadline. I think a lot of us were. We felt really good. This team had battled. They gutted to a place where they forced the general manager's hand, and he made 3 additions to the big league club, a left-handed reliever, two guys that you feel like in their own separate ways can handle the bat. And we've all thought for a long time that if you lengthen the lineup a little bit, this team would have maybe even more than a puncher's chance to make the postseason. And I think we're seeing that this team still has the requisite battle level, that this team is gutsy, that this team will fight. But when push comes to shove, I don't think the manager is pushing the right buttons. And I don't think that they're as talented as these other teams. And if you're not as talented as these other teams, then you need the manager to push the right buttons.
Yep.
And I think the bullpen management of late has been something of a disaster. I also think that guys that you relied on that were very good at times this year in the bullpen have also let the team down. I don't think you can discount when the players don't perform either. Like, case in point, Grandal did not get injured on that play at the plate that we played at the top of the show. He caught the ball. He was kind of smarting a little bit after it.
Mm-hmm.
He was healthy enough to stay in the game. He got jostled. But if you're healthy enough to stay in the game, you need to catch that ball. That is a play that needs to be made, and he didn't do it.
Yes.
You're supposed to be able to count on your closer, who was an all-star in each of the last two seasons, when you've got a lead in the ninth inning, to get that thing done. And he gives up a home run. You are supposed to be able to count on Colin Holderman, who had an all-star caliber first half, and yet this guy has lost four times in the last 8 days. Four of the Pirates' last five losses, the L has gone to Colin Holderman. So I think there's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, a little bit of column C, not as talented as these teams. Guys who had performed and are supposed to perform haven't performed, and then the manager makes a ton of bad decisions, and he's really shown his backside here in the last week or so. Hey, I saw people arguing on Twitter, and there's so many managerial decisions to get into from last night, so let's start right here. A lot of people asking, why go to Colin Holderman?
Right.
You've got Dennis Santana. Well, we heard Derek Shelton there at the top of the show says you can't go to Dennis Santana because Dennis Santana is going to be your length guy. If you get to extra innings, he's basically the only guy they've got left, and you're going to have to get length out of him. In that moment, I understand what Derek Shelton's doing. Because Dennis Santana of late also has not been good, but at least he can give you length. But where Derek Shelton screwed it up is when you lose the game 6-0 on Tuesday, Kyle Nicholas, who has been very good, you're down 4-0 when he enters the ballgame. Guess what? He pitches 2 2/3 innings and throws 47 pitches, thus rendering himself useless for the rest of the series. It was Derek Shelton's bad bullpen management on Tuesday
that affected him. Yes.
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 Because yesterday, if available, I'm going to Kyle Nicholas in the higher leverage situation. And I'm not going to Colin Holderman, and then I'm also not going to Dennis Santana. Or, and I don't love it, you go to Dennis Santana, and your long guy's going to be Kyle Nicholas. Kyle Nicholas throws 47 pitches in a game that's already basically lost? So then you can't use him the next day.
Great point.
So that was bad.
You know what else annoys me, too?
Please.
If I may join. Remember that game they lost against the Diamondbacks on Friday? They had Dennis Santana throw the ninth. They did the Holderman-Chapman, or Chapman-Holderman, they switched it. And then instead of putting Bednar in to stop the bleeding a little bit, they put Santana in. So I don't know what he's talking about, that he's a length guy.
Well, he is a guy that can give length, but that does not invalidate your point. That was bad bullpen management as well. Just like the other day, you have Woodford go in in the ninth inning.
In the ninth, yeah.
And then what happens? The guy who's not a major league pitcher gives up a home run, and now you're having to dig yourself out. I did not mind the decision in the ninth inning. As we're criticizing, I'll say, here's a move I'm not going to criticize. I did not mind the bunt in that situation.
Absolutely.
First and second, nobody out. I think the most likely outcome there with Grandal, if he doesn't lay down the bunt, is that he grounds into the double play. That's the way they're going to pitch him. He's put the ball on the ground a ton. He's slower than me if I'm on Callis's shoulders and Callis is walking to first base. So he's probably going to ground into the double play. Now, I think you can question the decision-making there and after. In the ninth inning, Hayes gets intentionally walked, bases loaded, one out. You've got Jiwon Bae, who dear God, he's not good. That is not a major league player. And so I think you can reasonably question whether or not he should hit there or you pinch hit for Brian De La Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you do, the double play does become something you worry about because Brian De La Cruz does not run well and he will hit the ball on the ground. At least you're expecting with Bay, if you're considering the negative outcomes, he's either going to strike out. If he puts the ball on the ground, you're not going to double him up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can second guess that. I can, I guess, fathom why you don't pinch hit for him. But the one that I think is the most valid, Doran, and we were talking about it before the show, and I'd love your thoughts on this, is at the end of the game, when you've got eventually runners on second and third with two outs because you swipe second base, you're a hit away from winning the ball game, you're down one run, it's your last out, and you've got Yasmani Grandal.
Right.
And you let him hit?
Where's Joey Bart?
Joey Bart's been one of your best hitters.
Yes.
I think we're past the point, too, where we're going to say small sample size for Joey Bart. No. You have to have faith in him. He's just good.
Yes.
And Grandal, according to Derek Shelton, and you heard this at the top of the show, was 0-for-3 in his career, or
other way around.
Other way around. What, Joey Bart's 0-for-3 in his career against that reliever?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to leave Grandal in there? That's the smallest of small sample sizes. That's not even a full game's worth of at-bats against a guy.
And it's a guy that's coming off the bench that's just pinch hitting and not playing a whole game at catcher.
Right. Worst case scenario is, I don't know, he hits a hard ball to right field, and so you only score one run, and maybe you get thrown out at the plate, or you only score one, and then you get out of the inning, and you're playing extras, and Joey Bart's got to catch, gasp, an inning or two, and then turn around and be the catcher at 12:35 today. So the frig, what, he's 26 years old?
Exactly.
This idea that you can't have a catcher catch a few and then the next day come out and catch again? I guess the issue, if I'm guessing for Derek Shelton, it isn't just that. It's what happens if Joey Bart gets hurt and now you're left catcherless in extra innings. But that's so unlikely. Like, you're coaching scared. You're managing scared. You're living in your fears at that point. Reasonable people can all say the best chance you have to win the game in that circumstance is to hit your far superior hitting catcher than Yasmani Grandal.
You're hiding guys, and you're hiding guys in moments where you know you're desperate and you need to win. Like, that's just not a winning formula. That's not going for it. That's not being aggressive. And I understand the logistics of baseball. You got to rest guys. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to make sure guys are fresh. But whenever you have guys that are 26 years old and they are your best hitters, you don't have time to hide them. Like, you can manufacture things the next day. Worry about the next day, the next day. Worry about the next week, the next week. But you need to win games now if you want to call in, if you want to see yourself in this. And they play scared. There's times where Shelton does get aggressive, and we give him credit for it. But it's not consistent.
No, it's not his MO.
It's not like they're out there wanting to win every game. It's not like they're approaching every game like every game is important. I don't get that feel.
No.
And that's a shame. That's a shame because they were close.
You traded for Brian De La Cruz because of his power. And I realize he's been bad. 3-for-22, 136 since he's been acquired. But you acquired him because of his bat. And you have multiple pinch hit opportunities in this game, and he sits on the bench? You have multiple pinch hit opportunities in this game, and your second highest player by OPS standards, Joey Bart, is on the bench, and you don't use him? You're managing thinking about, like you said, today, not the game last night.
Unreal.
And
unreal.
You can't manage that way in a playoff race. You just can't. It's not seeing the forest through the trees. It's not understanding the bigger picture. All of these games matter greatly because these are the teams that you're directly competing with to get into the wild card, into a wild card spot. And so now it's finally time for me to give my Derek Shelton take. And I'll do that next. Wait until you hear the statistics that tell you just how close the Pirates were to victory in their in four of their last five losses. And then you tell me if Derek Shelton's still the right guy to be managing this baseball team. We'll talk about that coming up next. Are the Pirates done? 412-928-9370. You want a little catharsis? You want to vent a little bit? You can with us at 412-928-9370, the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
.net. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. And the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll is brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Trust, PJ.com. It's a simple question. Are the Pirates cooked? Think they're cooked, Doran.
A little bit. They're simmering.
Are they medium rare and we're waiting to get this thing to well done?
Yes.
So they're on their way?
They're on their way.
They're on their way to being cooked?
Yep.
I mean, they are four games out, which has you basically on the periphery. So they're not out of it, but we've seen how hard it is to make up ground whenever there are so many teams involved. Like, you lose to a team right in the thick of it last night, but now they occupy one of the first two wild card spots. So you actually didn't technically lose a game in the standings, but it's a game that you could have won, should have won, and you didn't gain a game in the standings. And this is where I am on all this. Here's the Derek Shelton take. If Jared Triolo plays well in the second half and just gets a lot of at-bats, he's probably on next year's roster.
Correct.
If Dennis Santana pitches well, he's probably on next year's roster. If he pitches poorly, he's probably not. You're in the throngs of a pennant race. If you perform, then you could be a part of this thing as you move forward in this Skeens era, if you will. And if you don't, well, you're not going to have any patience for guys like that. You're going to replace them. Why would it be any different than the manager? If the manager, now when he's finally in a position where his decisions are affecting games that actually matter, makes bad decisions, why would he be the guy that gets to lead the Pirates through what should be a good period? I think he should be, and I think he is, coaching, managing for his job down the stretch. You're probably in the midst now, as we say the Pirates are cooked, or at least on the precipice of being cooked, of wasting one of the 5 years that you have with Paul Skeens.
Yes.
If you only have 5 years.
Well, this is where you have to weigh all your options. Or weigh all the scenarios. And like you just said, you're wasting years of Paul Skeens. You're wasting years of good pitching, of good starting pitching. You could be wasting years of O'Neill Cruz, of Nick Gonzalez, guys, you know, that even or in your system that you're bringing up, that you're trying to develop. You have to sit back and think, like, is he the right guy? Is he the right guy to lead us to where we want to be? And you're absolutely right. I'm sure he's being evaluated very, very closely right now. I just don't know, and you could probably answer this, how loyal are the Pirates to managers, and how loyal are they to GMs, and how loyal are they to the process of keeping the GM and manager together?
People will make the argument, and I don't know how true this is or not, that they're not going to want to pay two managers. And I think he's got at least 1 year left on his deal after this. And so if you let him go, you're going to have to pay him and then whomever replaces him. People will argue that the ownership is cheap and it's a small market team, and so you're not going to pay two guys. I don't know if that's the case or not. They waited a little while through the struggles for Hurdle before they let go of him. Anything before that's probably not worth even revisiting because they were so bad for so long. But I think with this circumstance, knowing that you've got the best pitcher in baseball, knowing that you've got the best young pitching staff, or at least starting rotation in Major League Baseball, you need to be evaluating legitimately. Legitimately. It can't be, well, this is the precipice of potentially something great and he's going to learn on the job. I know that game to game, as Starkey brought up to Shelton the other day, didn't so much matter the last 4 years, but you can't tell me it can't teach you. Like, you should still be learning so that when you get to a place where the games really quote-unquote matter, you have this bulk of work that was instructive on what you're going to do now. I can't just say the last 4 years didn't matter. Like, you should have been learning on the job. So now that when the rubber meets the road and when the bullets are live and flying, that you're ready to go. And he's come up small of late. And just case in point on that, because I said I have these statistics. So the Pirates lost that Astros game where O'Neill Cruz made all those errors.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put that on Derek Shelton. But at their highest point, they had an 84% chance of winning that game. Lost. Against the D-backs on August 2nd, 77% win probability. Lost. 8-4 D-backs, a 94% win probability. Lost. Last night at their highest point, 91% win probability. That's four of your last five losses, with the 6-0 rain weirdness the other night, the exemption here, the exception here. Four of your last five losses, you should have won the game.
Mm-hmm.
One of those will put on Cruz. So three of those last five losses, you should have won the game. And there's underperforming and all that, but I put that mostly on the manager and the poor decision-making that he's exemplified.
Do you think he's overwhelmed?
Yes.
Do you think that's what it is? Or do you think he just isn't ready to manage in crunch time?
I think they're one and the same.
They're one and the same, yeah.
And I'm not even asking for him to be a baseball savant, to be a genius. I just want him to make the obvious moves.
Right.
And he doesn't. Like, Jordan Beek should have been in there the other day.
His name is Jalen.
Son of a gun. He should have been in there the other day to face Jock Peterson, or at least force Jock Peterson to get removed from the game for a pinch hitter, because you would rather face anybody than Jock Peterson. He doesn't do it. That's why you acquire a lefty. You have two lefties in the bullpen, and you've got a hot-as-all-get-out lefty who crushes righties up there with the game on the line, and you stick with the guy who can't get anybody out right now in Colin Holderman.
I wonder how Cherington felt about that situation. It's like, look, I got you a lefty, and I got you a lefty for these moments. I wonder what the discussion was after that game between Shelton and Cherington about that situation whenever Cherington goes out, tries to add to this team, and tries to do as best as possible, adds a component that would be useful and immediately is useful in a moment that he is brought in for, and Shelton doesn't do it. Yes. I wonder what that conversation was like after that game. I'm sure that Cherington wasn't happy.
If I may, Doran,
mm-hmm.
Very good point. Very good point. Because as we understand it, and Zangrilli's brought this up, they have meetings, they talk.
Oh, yeah.
But Derek Shelton gets the lineup card. And they talk about circumstances and strategy before the game, but they don't make those calls in-game from the press box. Like Ben Cherington doesn't get on the bullpen horn, and Shelton picks it up, and he says, go to Beeks here. That doesn't happen. So it's on Shelton, and you're right. If I'm Ben Cherington, I am screaming at a wall. Why did I get this guy? I got him. And when you really think about it, if you're Cherington, you got him for like 8 or 9 moments over the course of the year. Like, that's it. He's a bullpen lefty. That's what you got him for.
Yep.
And there's one of those moments, and it's not a second guess. Everybody at the game thought that Beek should be in. It's a first guess. It's not Monday morning quarterback. It's what should have happened. And then you have Shelton say he didn't pinch hit for Grandal because what, Joey Bart's 0-for-3 against that reliever? He's referencing that small a sample size.
He's one of your best hitters.
He's one of your best hitters, and then he has the gall, the unmitigated nerve, to say that Grandal's had good at-bats for the last month? Has he? No, he's Yasmani Grandal. It's the obvious stuff that doesn't happen that's frustrating. I'm not asking him to be, I don't know, who's a smart, but Joe Maddon. I'm not asking him to be a smarter, better manager than Torrey Lovello. I'm just asking him, I think we're all asking him, to do the obvious things in the obvious moments, and he doesn't. And so if everybody else is on an audition here, why would the manager not be? This is probably the most important 5-year stretch of Pirates baseball from now until our lives are over.
Mm-hmm.
If we live to, when we're supposed to.
Right.
I have said this is the best chance the Pirates will have to win a World Series in my lifetime because they've got Jake Arrieta. They've got Madison Bumgarner. Mm-hmm. They've got the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. It's a lot like Kenny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, Skeens, much better player, much better prospect even than Kenny was. But as you're trying to make hay with a premium pick, you need to set these guys up for success. And you've got Derek Shelton, who doesn't know his bum from a hole in the ground. And you've got Matt Canada, who can't call plays and doesn't know how to drop an offense.
Malpractice.
It's malpractice.
Absolutely. It's a shame.
Hey, I'll give him the opportunity. You get him to the playoffs. Get him to the playoffs. You're only 4 games out. You're still, quote unquote, in the hunt. Oh, we're doing it.
I can't believe this.
But when I read off these win probabilities, we've already said they're not better than the Padres. They're not better than the Diamondbacks. But they had a greater than 70% chance to win all those games, and they don't. That's on not pushing the right buttons. So you're close enough to be good enough, and you've got a manager who's actually holding you back now, I think, at this point.
Mm.
Something that's happening on social media is really annoying me right now, and I want to throw it past you guys when we come back. And also, this umpire situation, I thought, was a total disaster in a couple of different ways, and we got to dive into that as well. We've got training camp coverage a little bit later on in the show. Pat Bostic going to join us from 8 o'clock until 9. And 93.7 The Fan is your station for complete training camp coverage. Presented by Smale Kia and brought to you by Guardian Caps and Armstrong Business Solutions. We will get into what was a disastrous, I thought, umpiring situation last night in a couple of minutes. We got to do the thing. So Pony tweeted out yesterday, sources, the Steelers have a verbal agreement in place with the 49ers for Brandon Ayuk. All the terms of the deal and the contract details are being hammered out now. The wide receiver is coming to Pittsburgh. And then later in the day, Jerry Dulac of the Post-Gazette tweets, the Steelers have no verbal agreement in place with the 49ers for Brandon Ayuk and are not in the process of hammering out final details per sources, and any potential deal would not involve the Steelers giving up a player. Now, Pony has made himself an easy target before, which leads to him being an easy target now. I think common sense leads us all to believe that eventually Brandon Ayuk will be wearing a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform.
Uh-huh.
Here is what I will say about the Dulac refuting of the Pony report.
Uh-huh.
A, maybe it's just time for everyone to hold their horses on all this and just take a breath and just let it go and see where it winds up. But the people who are killing Pony solely in Jerry Dulac's mentions, I do want to remind them that Dulac is the guy that asked Omar Khan about Justin Fields and Russell Wilson at the NFL Combine and was laughing the entire time he asked the questions because he didn't think it was possible.
Mm-hmm.
One guy thought the Steelers would get both, and that was you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting across right now from a man who should be trusted on these things. You also said off the air yesterday that you could see a three-team deal in the works to get Brandon Ayuk to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
What was reported last night? That there could be a three-team deal in the works to get Brandon Ayuk to Pittsburgh. So I'm sitting across from a guy in the know. And it's not like Dulac hasn't broken news. It's not like Pony hasn't broken news. But another thing Dulac did this offseason was say Russell Wilson's not coming here because he won't be Kenny Pickett's backup. This guy got a ton of stuff wrong this offseason. It's not been a great offseason for Dulac either. Just saying. So if you want to go, oh, Pony's wrong because of Dulac, you could say Pony might be wrong or is wrong. I just don't want you to say Pony's wrong because of Dulac because my man's had a checkered offseason. That's all I'm saying.
All I know is this, is that whether it's Dulac, whether it's Pony, and you know everybody thinks that they have sources or people that have legit sources and not direct sources, but pretty close to the vest sources of situations, and especially in the NFL. Now, I'm not going against anybody right now. All I know is this. This is a very, very, I would use the word tender situation and difficult situation. There's a lot of things that have to go through for this to happen. I do believe that it will happen at the end of the day, but it's going to take some time. It's not as easy as people think.
Yes.
If you have a source and in a situation like this, there's only three people, maybe four people, that know what's going on with this situation.
Definitively, yeah.
That is Art, that is Omar, that is Andy, and that's Mike Tomlin. The scouts don't know. The personnel guys don't know. There's only four people in that organization that absolutely know what's going on. They are not meeting with scouts. They are not meeting with anybody else talking about this situation. So unless either side that we're talking about has one of those four as their source telling them what's going on, I would hold my horses on who I am listening to or who is saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just being honest right now. There's not many people that know what's going on, and it's probably just Omar and Art.
I think that there's a way that in being wrong, Pony can be right. And I agree with what you're saying. Like, it's tight circle. Now, there are strategic leaks, there are league sources that are sniffing around it, but in terms of in the no, there's only a few,
right.
and you named them. I do think, and I used the words common sense yesterday, I do think that a deal may well be in place, and that T's do need to be crossed and I's need to be dotted.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that there's room for that to take a fair amount of time. If it is a potential three-team trade where picks are going back and the Niners are going to use a pick to go out and get a wide receiver, that's a whole nother end of the thing.
Uh-huh.
You're talking about Ayuk wants to come here and you're negotiating the contract with Ayuk. You might have agreements in principle, but you might need to figure out bonus structure. You're going to need to think about incentives. When you talk about I's and T's and all that, it's very complicated.
Very complicated.
And that means, while done in principle, it's not done. And then so things can change. Things can absolutely change.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like you've got it all figured out, there's always the possibility that there's a sticking point too. And the 49ers can always change their mind.
Exactly.
The Steelers can always change their mind. So when I say that I'm annoyed by what's gone on in social media, I'm actually not talking about Dulac. I'm actually not talking about Pony. I'm talking about mostly these aggregator sites.
Oh, my God.
Dude, you go to the For You tab, it used to be nudity. I miss my nudity.
Right.
I miss the disgusting, negative, both sides political takes.
Right.
More than some dog avatar telling me that Brandon Ayuk's a Pittsburgh Steeler.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
How many people have tweeted the stupid meme where there's a guy in the airport? I'm so tired of airport meme. I've seen Brandon Ayuk in the Pittsburgh airport. I'm so tired of it. I'm sick of it.
You see what that guy Chris Carter did?
Yes.
Yes, did he Photoshop him into practice? Camp.
Practice with his luggage.
We'll talk more about this coming up at 7 o'clock. I think you and I are in total agreement on he's going to be a Steeler.
He is, and I mean, you almost nailed it. We'll talk more, like you said, but I think that there's might be another component to be added to this whenever it's all said and done.
Let's go! I want another component! Because again, I'm sitting across from a guy who, of anybody in the country, and thusly the world, because it's a North American sport, who's been right about Steelers offseason stuff the whole way. You are the only person that said, oh, it's not Russ or Fields. Could absolutely be both.
Mm-hmm.
You're the only guy who said that.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get more into this coming up at 7 o'clock. Don't be a statistic. Get your heart checked by the experts at UPMC. Do you think Pony is like, do you think he can even sleep?
Probably not.
Oh my God.
No, he's checking his phone, hoping that he's going to be right.
I had like the last four games of the Steelers schedule when the whole schedule release thing was happening, and I was nervous about that being 100% right. I can only imagine. Cold sweats. All right, coming up next, umps suck, or at least they did yesterday. And then back to Ayuk and what the national experts are saying at the top of the hour. The national media circling around these Brandon Ayuk rumors. We'll talk about that. We'll hear from some of those people coming up in about 10 minutes here. The 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Let's revisit that Pirates Twitter poll real quick, Doran. The question, are the Pirates cooked? Already almost to halfway to 1,000 here. 91.5%.
Hmm.
Yes. 8.5%. No.
Mm.
I thought last night's game was just so terribly handled by the umpires, too.
Oh, my God.
So you've got, who was it who got hit with the pitch?
Not Profar.
So Profar got hit on the knee, right?
Yep.
Who was the guy that got hit where it was actually a foul ball? I guess it doesn't really matter.
He had the dreads. It hit off the shaft of the bat.
Clearly hits the bat.
I think it hit his finger.
You think it hit the finger?
Yeah, his finger looked like it kind of just jerked a little bit.
Yeah, a little jerky of the finger.
Yeah, a little twitch.
Okay, so you're going to disagree with me then.
I know, at first, but then I saw like his finger kind of slide down and kind of like jerk down, and I was like, if they could see that, then I guess that's...
I just don't know what we're doing with replay.
Right.
I just don't.
Right.
And then you've got the weird pitch violation later in the game where they call it on the pitcher, but really, when you watch it, it was on G1 Bay. I agree in full form with what the broadcasters were saying on the TV side last night.
Mm-hmm.
You either have to issue it on Bay, or you have to issue it on the pitcher. You can't just say, no, just kidding, the count is 0-0.
Right. It has to be 1-0 or 0-1.
It has to be one of the others. Someone right. done screwed up here, and you got to put it on somebody's ledger. But worse yet, why is the pitch clock in place so that games can move quickly? Why in the world are you taking 5 minutes to debate it and having yourself a little powwow and a hangout sesh in the middle of the field, and then you're going to talk to both managers, and then both managers get pissed, and then you got to talk to both managers again. I thought they gave Shelton a little bit of rope there, which was fine. Like, they didn't eject Shelton, and I thought he was going to get ejected. Especially right there at the end.
Yep.
He was animated.
Mm-hmm.
But they knew they screwed up, and they knew that they handled it poorly. I don't know how, in that position, you're umpires, and you don't see the big picture here, which is, this is a rule so that the game goes fast, and here we've bogged this game down in its most crucial moment to a complete freaking standstill. I wasn't yelling at my TV because my kids were asleep. I wanted to yell at the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the stadium playing What's Going On, which I thought was very funny. We've seen some weird stuff these last few series.
No, with the water.
Oh, man, the water. You had the last game of the Astros series where Shelton came out and argued, and he was real pissed off about the umpiring. I thought Holderman got squeezed a little bit. As well, there were some strikes called balls, balls called strikes. Just, I think it's been a really poorly umped series. And the umps made the decision to try to play that game the other night at 8:15.
Mm-hmm.
And then they made the decision to push the thing back to 9:40. And they made the decision to start the game at 6:40 to begin with.
Right.
I don't know why you have replay if you're going to screw it up. I don't know. Just make them all robots. Just give me R2-D2 for everything. Beep, boop, beep, boop, boop. Wow!
What?
That's my R2-D2 impression. That's pretty good, right?
No.
Like when the X-Wing gets blasted or something and he's like, "Wow!"
Oh, that's terrible.
Callus, find the R2-D2 sound, please. The R2-D2
The sound
squeal.
Is just terrible. It may sound the same, but that's just terrible.
Oh, okay. You're not judging my impression.
No.
Just to be clear.
Right.
Okay, that would be offensive to me. I'm fluent in droid. We'll do the side-by-side later on in the show. Coming up next, so we got Pony's report, we got Dulac's report. Well, we've all been waiting for the insiders. What's the latest from Adam Schefter? What's the latest from Mike Garofalo? What's the latest from Ian Rappaport? We've got it for you next. And Doran has an angle, believe it or not, that we haven't covered on this whole Brandon Ayuk saga in, what is this now, day three? We're at like 72 hours. So we'll get into all of that. Jeff Hathorn at 7:35. Right now, fam weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Woo!
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.